You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
Sometimes I just can't help dating myself a little bit, so let me just go ahead and date myself. I remember when I grew up, some of the greatest shows on the planet, one of which was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And when Mr. Rogers would go in and he would start singing that stinking little song, "It's so wonderful down the neighborhood." Well, I remember that. It's embedded into my brain. It is seared into my brain, whether I want it to be there or not. Well, it's okay because, this is a wonderful month in the neighborhood. September is like one of my favorite months of the year. Right after Labor Day, it seems like every year, right after Labor Day, and as we're a few days past Labor Day, obviously, but right after Labor Day, it seems like the Lord just takes the humidity out of the air to a great degree, makes the skies clearer, makes the temperatures cooler, and other than having ragweed make you sneeze all the time, and some of those leaves that are already beginning to fall, or already falling, I should say, and all the allergens that come with that, except for the little minor allergy issues, it's a fantastic day. So welcome to another September day with Career Callings Radio. My name is Robbie Romeiser, your host, and you can reach out to us by phone, text, or email today if you like. 864-381-7649 is our phone number here, 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now, with it being the month of September, and with me having a 17-year-old sweet little darling daughter in her senior year of high school looking forward to college, as you can imagine, college is on my mind. So we've been doing a lot of research about things pertaining to college, which means it is time for yet another education update.
Everybody shut up.
Making me feel fine. All right, that guy has got a knack for making you laugh. But maybe I don't like everything he does by any means, but that one was a good one. So we've been doing a lot of research online with all things college, and I'm staring here at, on my screen here, all kinds of links to gazillions of websites pertaining to all things like how to find scholarships, what kind of timelines to be looking out for, like what should you be doing in the fall of your senior year, what should you be doing in the winter of your senior year. Of course, some of these timelines stretch back into even ninth grade year, and some even go as far as back as what you should be doing to prepare for college in the seventh and eighth grade. So I probably have about a dozen or so different links to various things like student aid websites and things of that nature, and rather than trying to throw them out on the airwaves here, I'm going to link to all of these at careercallings.net/radio. So if you are even thinking about contemplating college at all, and you're looking for an idea of when you should be doing what and how are you going to pay for this stuff, go to careercallings.net/radio for a copy of today's broadcast, and you'll be able to get those links to those websites and start doing some research of your own. Now, just to kind of give you a feel for some of what we have learned, we're in the fall of my daughter's senior year. So here is a short list of things that some of these websites are suggesting that you make sure you get done during the fall. Think of schools you would like to be at. Visit as many of those schools as you can. Finalize a list of prospective schools. Take standardized tests such as the ACT or SAT. Keep up with any deadlines that the schools have regarding application procedures and things of that nature. Ask for letters of recommendation. Meet with guidance counselors. Look for scholarships and apply and submit applications to prospective colleges. So right now is the time to be doing all that stuff. And we got some things here for winter and spring as well. But right now is the time to really be focused on vetting which kinds of schools have A, the Christian worldview that you want to be educated in. And let me just tell you that one of the most dangerous things you can do, I'm not saying anybody's evil for doing so, please don't get me wrong, I'm just saying one of the most dangerous things you can do is send your child off to an institution that does not center itself around a Christian worldview. One of the main reasons why so many young people fall away from the faith is because they go off to a college that does nothing but attempt to attack their faith. And if they're not properly armed with the right worldview, even if they are properly armed and properly educated in the right worldview, when they're bombarded by humanistic thinking, it's kind of hard to stand your ground when you're still a young person against someone who's, you know, these professors who are supposed to know everything. So be careful about where you send them. And that's what we're going to be doing. We are very careful about where we want our daughter to go, and we are looking at colleges that share our worldview. Speaking of which, if you're in the hunt for that, I know it's a short notice, so to speak, but there are going to be two Christian college fairs, one in Spartanburg and one in Greenville, where a bunch of different Christian colleges are going to be there trying to disseminate information about themselves and whether or not they're a good place for you to go. They offer the kind of majors that you might want to investigate or invest in. And these college fairs are being put on by an organization called the North American Coalition for Christian Admissions Professionals. There's going to be one in Spartanburg on Monday night, September 21st, which would be, you know, tonight, at from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And in Greenville on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, September 22nd, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So the website where you can find a little bit more details about where and when and how, NACCAP.org. I repeat, that's NACCAP.org. And I will link to that website as well at careercallings.net/radio so that you can have an easy link over to that so that you can be involved with that. So that's today's education update for Looking at College.
Everybody shut up.
Hey. Thank you, Al. What a guy. All right, that's today's education update from Weird Al. All righty. Well, let's talk a little bit about some advice. You know, one of the things the Bible definitely encourages us to do is get wise counsel before we make a decision on anything in life. And I ran across this article in the Business Insider, or on the Business Insider website. CEO shares his best career advice. And this is an article in which the author interviewed a guy named Greg Schott. Actually, the New York Times's Adam Bryant asked CEO Greg Schott, and by the way, Greg Schott is the CEO of a software company called MuleSoft. And Adam was just asking him, "Hey, what kind of advice would you give to young people today, looking for or looking at the front end of their career time in this life?" And he said, "Quote: The first thing I'd say is that you should be spending as much time making decisions about your job as you did making a decision about the college you choose." That's pretty good. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't do that. I mean, a lot of folks spend a lot of time researching which college they're going to go to, but not nearly as much time about what kind of career to pursue. So that's a good piece of advice there. Number two, he said, Schott said candidates should be interviewing employers every bit as much as employers are interviewing them. And then he quotes Schott this way. Schott says, "But I'm often surprised by how people haven't really researched the company before they come in for their interviews." And that is so right. Too often we're so focused on chasing the money that we don't pause to think and ask questions of ourselves like, will I be a good fit here? Will they be a good fit for me? Can we both help each other? Can we both serve each other? Do they share my values? Is this the kind of place that will help me live out God's purpose in my life? And I kind of recommend people look at their next career choice the same way that I hope they try to look at marriage. One of the things I've told my children and tell a lot of other people is when you're looking at a marriage, probably one of the best things you can consider is to ask this question. Is it obvious that that potential spouse cares enough about me to where they're not being selfish and they're trying to find ways to serve me and make me not necessarily happy, but to serve me in terms of Christian brotherly love, agape love, you know, sacrificing your own desires and esteeming others better than yourselves? Is that other potential spouse willing to esteem me better than himself or herself? And then likewise, do I feel so much love for this person that I'm willing to esteem them more than myself and sacrifice myself for their betterment? Well, it's not a bad idea to look at a job the same way. Now, you know, obviously the Bible teaches that marriage is for a lifetime. A job doesn't necessarily have to be. But if you look at that same, if you look at that relationship in the same way, how can I serve them and will I want to do so? How can they serve me and will they want to do so? You'll know you're on the right track. Another pearl of wisdom from Mr. Schott. Remember that starting your career is a bit like being on top of a mogul ski run. Now, that means a little bit to me. I've been snow skiing once in my life. It was a fantastic experience and also quite terrifying. There were a few trees that almost took me out, but I was able to avoid them. And this is a quote here now from Schott. You can try to map out your timeline for 10 moguls, you can try to map out your line for 10 moguls, but after the first two moguls, you're usually off your line. You're never going to be able to map it out to the bottom, he said, and then he continued to say, it's about making sure that you're on the right slope and you pick the right mountain. Don't worry so much about how it's all going to play out in the end. And that's a fantastic metaphor. The older I get, the more I realize that it's really impossible to try to plan out every twist and turn of your life. Now, there may be some unique people who have been able to successfully do that, but I think it's safe to say that for the vast majority of folks, you're fooling yourself. I know I have fooled myself, thinking I can plan on every twist and turn of my life from a career standpoint. And the mountain we need to make sure we're on is the mountain of God's will for our life. Being on the right mountain doesn't mean we have all the answers. Being on the right mountain means that we are seeking God's will. We're earnestly desiring to obey that, whatever He shows to us, and that we obediently follow that. And we'll pick up with that thought on the other side of the break about being on the right mountain of God's will for your career and how to make sure you trust Him for every twist in the mogul line. See you in a few seconds or minutes here on the radio.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, before we took off for the break, we were talking about an article from Business Insider titled CEO Shares His Best Career Advice. And the New York Times author, or should say reporter, Adam Bryant was interviewing Greg Schott, CEO of software company MuleSoft. By the way, welcome back to Career Callings Radio. This is Robbie Romeiser, and you can reach out to us by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Now, what Greg Schott was doing in this article is giving some great career advice to young people. And the last piece of advice he offered up was this. Your career, look at your career not as something you can map out every step of the way, but kind of look at it from a standpoint of standing at the top of a mountain, about to ski down that mountain. You might be able to plan the first two moguls or so, but after that, you're going to get a little off course. You got to make course corrections and adjustments and things of that nature. And careers, for most people, maybe there are some unique people who don't have to make those adjustments, but for most people, you're going to find out that the longer you're in your career calling, things will happen to you, or things will happen in such a way to where God will have to correct your course, and you need to just trust him for that. The mountain we need to be on is on the right mountain of God's will. And as we understand that a lot of times when we make decisions, we don't have all the information. So when there's a course correction, we might be confused by it, only to find out later on when God reveals that extra information to us that he had us on the right track all the way. The course correction might have seemed strange to us, when in reality it was the right thing to do. So if I could encourage you with a metaphor, and there are all kinds of metaphors that could be used to help us understand that God's going to light our path, God is going to direct our steps. Let me just kind of share with you this Bible verse, and then I'll give you a metaphor and kind of give you an application here. Psalm 97:11 is a great verse. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible version because I think it very well articulates this idea. Light is sown for the uncompromisingly righteous and strewn along their pathway, and joy for the upright in heart, the irrepressible joy which comes from consciousness of his favor and protection. And when I read that verse, the metaphor that came to my mind was this. I'm sitting in an airplane. It's a beautiful day, beautiful Saturday afternoon, for example. The sky is clear, it's rich, it's blue. It's kind of like the month of September a lot of times. There's not a cloud in the sky. You're up there, you're flying. As you're flying, though, suddenly clouds come out of nowhere. You can't see a thing. You're trying to get down to the ground only to find out you can't see anything. And then all of a sudden, somebody flips the switch at the airport and lights the runway so that you can see it. And that's what I saw in my mind when I heard or read Psalm 97:11. Light is sown for the uncompromisingly righteous. So when you're skiing down that hill of career, a lot of times you're going to not be able to see the next step. You're not going to be able to see why what is happening matters. Something might be changing. Something might be just thrown at you as we like to say, the proverbial curveball. You didn't see it coming. But God is going to light the next step. He's going to provide you with the right path. And to kind of illustrate that, a couple weeks ago we had on the show the Christian car guy, Robbie Dillmore, and we had him on for the entire show. It was a fantastic conversation with him. And if you didn't hear it, I would strongly suggest you go back to careercallings.net/radio and look up that Robbie Dillmore interview. But I want to play a short 3-minute clip for you from our conversation that shows just how, when things seem like they're just going absolutely bonkers, God is still lighting the pathway.
It seemed like my career was flourishing, and then all of a sudden I got lymphoma. And right after my chemotherapy on that and a miraculous healing from God, I was crushed by a Jeep in an accident that left me in a wheelchair for a couple of years. And I found myself, in a different place where the people I was working for were actually worried that I could carry the load because it was such a large dealership that they fired me.
Oh, wow.
And I that was something that I did not see coming. And I got the most glorious, advice from a dear Christian friend that day. Because I was just, I'd been through all this illness. I'd been through, all these years of trial. And now all of a sudden my career seemed on the downward side. And I was like, I just don't know where this goes. And so my friend told me, he said, Robbie, I know you're okay financially, and so why don't you go to God and just seek after him with something that you always wanted to find out about God, and spend a month doing that and see where that lands you as far as your career. Don't even think about your career. Don't even consider it. Just consider God and go after him with your whole heart. And it sounded like wise counsel to me, and I took it. And I would still say some of the best I ever got. And I decided to study leadership in the Bible at that time. I really loved leadership, and so I just enthralled myself in leadership in the book of Matthew and several other places, Nehemiah. There are so many amazing leaders in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was going on, after about a month, the phone rings from nowhere, and it's the zone manager from Chrysler there, and who says to me these exact words. He said, Robbie, we have no idea why they let you go up there in Winston-Salem. He said, but we never sold cars in Winston-Salem until you came to town, and so we want to figure out a way to put you in another store, and there's one that's not far from where you live in Mocksville, North Carolina, so if you would consider buying that store, you know, we would like to help you get Jeep and whatever else we could do that. And I said, well, number one, that's wonderful, but number two, I don't have the money to buy a dealership, and there is no way there's a Chrysler store within 15 minutes of my house. I was wrong on both counts, because he said, well, Robbie, we will help you get the money, whatever we need to do, because we know you can sell cars. And sure enough, there was a little bitty town called Mocksville, North Carolina, not 15 miles from Clemens, where I opened up Westside Chrysler Dodge Jeep about 8 months later. And that was definitely another chapter in the story of my life, and where I taught, where I learned lots of things about the car business, but even more so about God. And that's where I was when I was called to do the Christian Car Guy Show.
And that's just a perfect picture of how God lighted the runway, lit the runway for Robbie Dillmore. And I've seen that happen in my life. I hope you've seen it happen in yours. If you haven't, you will. If you're a child of God, at some point you're going to be at a place where everything looks foggy, and God is going to cut through the fog at just the right time to encourage you and to show you what's going on. Even though it seems chaotic, it actually has a purpose. I mean, I can't imagine much more chaos than, first of all, having lymphoma, and all of a sudden it did get miraculously healed, which was a blessed testimony that we all benefit from now. But then right after that, getting crushed by the Jeep, and right after that, getting fired, it's kind of discouraging, a little bit on the weird side. But nonetheless, God lighted the path. It was all for his purposes. And it reminds me of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So let's just say that something's happening at your current workplace, something's going crazy, and you are wondering why God seems to be pushing you out of where you are now. He's telling you to take this job and shove it.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Yes, sirree, Bob Bailey. So God seems to be telling you to take this job and shove it. There's something he wants you to do, and you just don't go anywhere. You stay exactly where you are in that career, in that job, in that workplace that you absolutely despise with all of your inner being, yet you do not leave at all. Why? Why do you do that? Well, there's a lady named Kathy Caprino that is a contributor to Forbes. She has been in the business of career counseling for quite a number of years now. She specializes in career counseling for women in particular, and she's helped over 10,000 women answer questions like that. So she wrote an article for Forbes called Why We Stay in Companies We Hate. Now, even though her focus is on women, I am here to argue that everything she's talking about, or at least vast majority of what she's talking about, is just as applicable to men as it is to women. So I think we all benefit from what she has to say. So there are several different reasons why we stay in the jobs we hate. The first one here is the organization that we work for is renowned, it's impressive, it's, you know, well known, and therefore it seems good for my career to stay. But you know, the question you need to ask yourself is this: if you absolutely hate working at the organization, hate your daily life, feel like they're beating you up every which way but loose, and they're just trampling on work-life balance, you know, is it really worth that? Can you glorify God when you're miserable and about to explode every day? Now, an occasional day, don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody's going to have a bad day. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going in every day and feeling like they're lighting a bomb underneath your chair. That's not a good, you know, you got to be careful. Just because they have a big reputation doesn't mean that your life has to be tied to that reputation. Be tied to God's reputation. His is a whole lot more impressive. Another reason we make ourselves wrong for hating it. In other words, a lot of people deny the fact that they hate where they work. They beat themselves up as being wrong for doing so. And I know I've questioned myself like that. My guess is many of you have as well. Don't ignore those things. If God is constantly, and again, I'm not talking about a once in a while, I don't like it here. But if God is beating you up every day saying, you know, this is not where I want you to be, if there's a pattern of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you need to listen to Him and not talk yourself out of it. The lure of money and benefits is another reason why people stay where they are. Let me just ask you this question. If God created you to do a work, isn't He able to provide in that work abundant and above all that you ask and think? The answer is yes. The Bible teaches us that. So why stay there for the lure of money and benefits when you serve a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills? And there are a few others that time precludes us from looking at, so go to careercallings.net/radio for a copy of this article so you can finish it up, and for a copy of today's radio broadcast. God bless. Have a great day.